It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, there's a lot of great stories going on in the National Football League, but none taking place here in South Florida right now with the Dolphins. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, Joe. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm hanging in there for a team that scores one touchdown in two games. We're hanging in there a little bit. So I can just tell you, I'm getting a lot of, we got to get rid of Chris Greer. He can't put together a team, and people are frustrated. What are your thoughts? I think everybody got extension, so I don't think anybody's going anywhere. But your thoughts on this Dolphin thing, and I don't know when Tua's coming back, and the gloom and doom here in South Florida.
I saw that Mike McDaniel got the extension. I don't remember seeing that Greer got one. And that made me think if anybody takes the fall, it's going to be him, because he's the one that surely went to the owner and said, yeah, let's give Tua $53.1 million per year in new money. Let's not protect ourselves in the event of future concussions, and just kind of walk blindly, even though they knew or should have known that Tua, and I can't even give them the benefit of should have known. They knew he was one play away at any given moment from a concussion that would put him on the sidelines for multiple games. So who takes the fall for that? The guy that drafted him and the guy that recommended surely that, yeah, that he get another contract. So I don't think that's far-fetched unless he did get an extension. And look, the other side of it too is guys get extensions all the time, and sometimes they still get fired anyway, and it's all a tax write-off, and
yeah,
you know, they move money around, and if you want to make a change, you make a change, even if it costs you money on the way out the door.
Mike, I know everybody still talks about the concussion. Every time somebody gets a concussion, it goes back to Tua. I'm just wondering if what has happened. The Dolphins next year, all of a sudden, back in the market in the draft, looking at a quarterback, right? They can no longer act like this doesn't exist.
Well, beyond that, you've got to have a better backup situation. All due respect to Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, and Snoop Huntley, you've got to go get a veteran who will come in and be the number two. Now, did they not want a guy that could maybe threaten Tua? I don't know. There's two different kinds of backups. There's the backup that knows his place, and there's the backup that says, I want to be the starter. There are veterans out there that you get with playing experience who could come in,
yeah,
and put you in a better position to win games if Tua's out. Shame on, if we're going to talk about Chris Greer and his responsibility for where the Dolphins are, shame on him for not having a better backup plan in place when you have a quarterback that you know has a history of concussions. And just because he made it through last year doesn't mean that that all magically goes away.
So the other part of that that I wonder, and not defending Chris Greer at all,
And I'm not trying to get the guy fired.
No. Listen.
When you're failing, these are the things that come to the forefront.
Well, the other part is Mike and his relationship and really liking certain players, and the Skylar Thompson thing, and Skylar got to start some games his rookie year. He didn't play last year. Nobody did. Tua made it through the season, and really believing and selling Chris like, hey, Skylar's our backup. We're going to be in good shape because, like you said, they had to know there's a chance Tua, this could happen again with Tua.
Oh, you're right, and I think the lesson for next year is you need somebody that's got,
yes,
extensive playing experience.
100%.
You need somebody that you believe is basically 1B to Tua's 1A. But the problem is if the backup's too good, then it becomes a threat to the starter. And I think, especially post-Flores, they've kind of tiptoed on eggshells around Tua because they understand. Remember when they picked up his fifth-year option? And I'm thinking, why are they picking up a fifth-year option coming off of all those concussions? It's like, you know, there's a certain psychological management that you need to engage in order to get the most out of a player. One side of it is if you hurt his confidence, he's not going to play well. The other side of it is if you boost his confidence, he's going to play better.
Yeah. Hey, the other story, Mike, because we're getting ready for a Monday Night Football game with the Titans, why the doubleheaders on these Monday Night Football? I mean, it's great if you love football and it gives you a chance to watch more games, but why are they doing that? Why wouldn't they just try to get as much money in the one game if they're selling it and go that route?
We did a poll on Twitter in the aftermath, or actually during the overlapping doubleheader on Monday night, and more than 32,000 people eventually voted. Two-thirds do not like the simultaneous overlapping doubleheader. Now, it gave ESPN the ability to send out a press release the next day, thumping its chest that there was 19 million on average during the two-hour overlap between the two games. Why not just take one game, put it on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Plus, ESPN this, ESPN that? They got over 20 million week one that way with the Jets and the 49ers. And the only good thing about it, the second game is insurance against the first game stinking. And if the only game on Monday night would have been Jaguars-Bills, that stunk. And when they put out the numbers, they never put out the rating, the average audience for Jaguars-Bills, which tells me the ratings stunk as bad as the game did. So I think that's the only thing. You're maximizing your chances of a good game by having two games instead of one in that window.
So one of the great stories has been Brian Flores. Speaking of Brian Flores and the defense of Minnesota, part of the reason, along with Sam Darnold's great play, that defense giving up just 10 points per game. We kind of forget about it. We talk about Sam Darnold and his 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions bouncing back, and you're hearing quarterbacks play against him going, man, you confuse me. What a great game plan. You're going, wow, what a nice bounce back for Brian Flores.
Yeah, and he ordinarily, Joe, would be in line to get another head coaching job. The problem is, and he knew this when he filed the lawsuit, he's smart enough to understand that it's going to impact his career. It shouldn't. It's wrong. But we know how the NFL operates. We know how the oligarchs approach those who dare to pull on their tail. You know, they don't like it. He sued the Dolphins, the Broncos, the Giants, and the Texans, along with the NFL. The case is still pending. There was a skirmish this week over one part of the case that's pending on appeal over whether or not it's going to end up stuck in arbitration, because, you know, the NFL wants everything to go to its secret rigged kangaroo court where it's likely to win and nobody ever finds out anything about the evidence that's produced. But there's still a fight there. And I know from when I practiced law, when you would have a current employee of a company, and that's what Brian Flores is. It's one big company with 32 branches, and he's still an employee, and he's trying to get promoted to manager again. When you have sued the company, they view you differently. And there will be owners who will say, never, ever, ever Brian Flores a head coach in the NFL. And it's going to take an owner who is willing to basically give the finger to those in his billionaire boys club that are, you know, not thrilled with that development. They have to be willing to do that. And I again, it's wrong that it will happen, but I'd be surprised if Brian Flores gets a head coaching job. All it takes is one, but you have to be willing to thumb your nose at your partners in order to pull it off.
Right. And then his style as a head coach, you know, you'll have to, you know, with the Tua stuff that came out with that and how much that will hurt him, even though he's got a lot of those guys on that defense saying great things about him right now. So I got to ask
you. Hey, Joe, here's what happens. The Tua stuff becomes the plausible reason for owners to shun him.
Right.
That's what's so problematic about what Tua said. Tua's got every right to say whatever he wants. But from the perspective of what that then becomes, that becomes the sword that gets used against Brian Flores when it's time to line up coaching candidates. Last year, he didn't get a sniff. And he was, you know, very effective turning around a horrible defense from the prior season with the Vikings. So I think they'll keep looking for reasons not to consider him. And Tua helped give them a very easy reason to say, you know, we don't want a guy like that coaching our team.
The other thing is, I wanted to ask you just in the first 3 weeks, does it still seem a little sloppy with all the penalties, or are we making too much of that, or does it seem like the numbers and how long it takes, it's just a little frustrating, and we've had three or four flags in a row on three or four consecutive plays, and it's just, I understand now, it's on the players, and they're all legit penalties, but what are your thoughts on the penalties right now?
I can remember when John Gruden was working for Monday Night Football, and he would all these penalties, had a referee throwing all these flags. Well, what are you supposed to do? Yeah. If the guys are committing fouls, you're just supposed to ignore it because you don't want to slow the game down. That was the Legion of Boom approach to holding receivers back in 2013. We'll do it every play. They won't flag us every play. They don't want to slow the game down. So, you know, yeah, you expect a higher level of precision and skill, but when teams don't play their starters in the preseason, when you have limited opportunities to really get your guys ready, September becomes a preseason that counts, basically. And I think that's what we're seeing. And hopefully by next week or the week after, some of this stuff will start to iron out. But, you know, it's part of the game. We're always going to see penalties. Yeah. It does get frustrating. And it doesn't help. Now, look, you know, I don't want to criticize the announcers for this. It's a chicken and the egg thing. But when the announcers start complaining about it, the audience is going to complain about it too. I mean,
it is too much, right?
You know, and I love Al. But when you complain too much about the penalties, you make it into a bigger thing than it needed to be.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, how about Al Michaels kind of insinuating the whole point spread at the end of the game on the kick?
Oh, great. Hey, and Joe, we wrote something about this at CFT a little bit ago. Mike McCarthy almost blew that game. By not doing what we always see when the clock's running and you're in a situation like that or you're going to kick a field goal, don't rush your field goal unit out there and snap the ball on a play clock that's trickling down towards zero. Stand next to the official. Take the timeout with 1 second left. Give your field goal unit time to set up properly. They missed that kick. And Brandon Aubrey, the guy who missed it was the first 50-yard kick he's ever missed. He said, you know, I had bad eye discipline. I was looking at the play clock, and I was looking at my target. So that's on McCarthy. If the Giants had 59 yards and 28 seconds, if they had scored a touchdown, it would have been on McCarthy. That is just a fundamental error in clock management that no NFL coach should be committing.
How much hot water you think he's feeling right now in Dallas, even though they got a win last night against the Giants, that he could be in a hot seat?
Well, I mean, last night was a no-win situation for him because you're expected to win that game.
Right.
They've owned the Giants in recent years, 14 out of 15 times. Now they've beaten them. If you lose, the sky's falling. They got to go to Pittsburgh next Sunday night. If you don't have a running game, and they don't, good luck beating the Steelers in Pittsburgh. And then they got the Lions coming to town the next week. The Honolulu Blue will be all over that stadium. They got a rude awakening with the Saints a couple of weeks ago. They're going to get a very rude awakening when the Lions fans take over. And then they go into their bye week. They're looking at 2-4 going into their bye week. And yeah, I think you know, it's going to take a hell of a lot for Mike McCarthy to come back next year. The question is, at some point this season, does he get fired and replaced by either Mike Zimmer or the special teams coordinator, John Fossil?
What about the Bill Belichick stuff? In your gut, you think he gets another chance to be a head coach?
Well, he's doing his damnedest
to
rehabilitate his image. And I said this last year, Joe, first step is you got to have a fan base that wants you. You've got to have a clamoring for Bill Belichick that would cause the owner to say, I'm willing to take the risk of bringing in Bill Belichick when I have a football structure in place that he might try to upset either directly or passive aggressively, or I'm willing to give him the keys to the car, even though he's going to be 73 next year. And I think keeping and I haven't written this yet, and I need to remember to do it, a Bill Belichick watch list. And I added the Jaguars and the Bengals to it on Monday night. The Jaguars were just embarrassing.
Oh,
and
terrible.
The owner come out and said, this is the best Jaguars team we've ever had. I expect to win. I don't know whether Bill would want to go there. Cincinnati, they're not going to pay him. And I don't think Dallas is going to pay him. Everybody thinks the Cowboys because Jerry came out and said it, and I got caught up in it last year. I think Jerry's too cheap to pay Bill Belichick. Now, one possibility would be Bill Belichick deliberately gives him a break and he says, I'm not the GM too, so I'll take 14 or 15 instead of 25 or 26. Maybe that's a way to make it happen. But I'm watching the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, the Jaguars, and maybe the Bears, and kind of the Bengals. But again, the Bengals are too cheap. But it all comes down to how do the fan bases out there feel about Bill Belichick. And the other thing about Belichick, like, I was really looking forward to hearing his insights after games. There's just so much, and he's doing so much. I'm not interested in going to see it. Isn't that weird? Like, if he was just doing one show a week, it would be appointment viewing. But it's like, ah, he's everywhere. I don't really care.
Yeah, he joined everybody's show. You're exactly right. A little bit for everybody out there. So it looks like...
Hey, somebody told me they watched one of his videos and it was just bad. Like, it wasn't any real insight whatsoever. Something he did with Matt Patricia. It's like, this guy's the greatest coach of all time. Are you kidding me? So, and maybe he's holding stuff back. And that's the other problem, too. If he wants to get back in, he's not going to be as good in the media as he could be.
I got to ask you one last question, and I'll let you go, Mike. I appreciate all the stuff this morning from you. So, the Dolphins, we're going to find out. It's going to be the third or fourth quarterback most likely going to play. They've had problems, especially offensively, scoring here. The lowest scoring team in the NFL right now. They're getting ready to play Tennessee, who just looks awful. Numbers are terrible. They turn the ball over. They're just not very good. Who do you like in this game?
I think the Dolphins need this one badly. In certain circumstances, desperation will take over. And the Titans just kind of, Will Levis and Brian Callahan aren't a fit.
No.
They're just not. Will Levis is, and we see this from time to time, where a guy tries to do more than what he's physically capable of doing. It's the Carson Wentz disease. Jameis Winston used to do that when he was playing for the Buccaneers. I remember seeing it happen the first time when he was with Florida State and they were playing Oregon. Like, you try to do something that you believe you can do and you find out the hard way that you can't. That's what I see from Levis far too often now. And they're going to get exasperated and go to Mason Rudolph at some point. How can you not? So I just think there's too much pressure on the Dolphins now. They need this one too badly.
Yeah, I agree.
If they blow this one on Monday night, man, I mean, for a team that is used to starting fast and kind of holding on, I don't think you can turn that logic around and say, well, okay, we'll just start slow and then turn it around. I think you're going to have guys starting to check out. I mean, this is going to be the challenge of Mike McDaniel's coaching life to hold this team together, especially if they lose on Monday night.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, I'm with you 100% on both those things, because you got the Patriots the following week. You got to have something good. They're not very good either, but you got to get your own team rolling at home. I totally agree with you. Mike, thank you. Really appreciate all the stuff this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning. Talk a little bit a lot, actually, about the Miami Dolphins, and I want to just – what do you got there, Woody?
Can we do a giveaway really quick here?
Oh, shoot, Woody, I forgot.
All right, before you get to your thing here, Joe, let's give away your guy, Mark Super Duper. We got a signed jersey here.
I got a little trivia.
Pick that thing up on Sunday. Oh, you got trivia.
You want trivia? You just want to give it away to caller?
Man, whatever you got, go ahead.
So Super Dupe was a second-round pick. We know that.
Okay.
Who was the first guy taken in his draft by the Miami Dolphins?
Okay.
You all right with that?
I mean, sure.
Or do you want... No, I don't want to do that. There's some other stuff, but I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So Duke was the second-round pick.
Okay, so you want the first
round pick in his draft class.
Fair enough.
Out of USC.
If you win, by the way, you can get this thing signed in person at the Coral Springs Trading Card Show this weekend, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, Saturday and Sunday. Coral Ridge Mall, 3200 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale, SinbadSports.com for more info.
And Dupe's a good guy. You can go up to Dupe. He'll give you a big hug. He's a good dude, man. Good guy if you're going out there to see him. Frank Gore, sweetheart as well. Good guy. Known a long, long time. Should be a fun show both Saturday and Sunday up there. So if... not doing anything, looking to do something with your kids, get out there. Or just by yourself or with a group of guys, go out and enjoy yourself with those guys. Hey, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. I love talking about them, especially on a Friday, because this gives you a chance. You're not happy with what you're driving right now. It's getting old. You're tired of it. It's breaking down a lot. Need something different, new or used. Stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers, man. I can tell you about a few things that are going on there right now. Like, the SUV family is looking real good. From the big boys, the Channing. Oh, Channing's got a beautiful Suburban. I'm jealous, man. I jumped in his Suburban. It's nice, but, man, I got to tell you, I'm a Tahoe guy. I'm going to be a Tahoe guy for a long, long time. And then smaller SUVs like the Traverse, right down to the Trailblazer, Equinox, and the Blazer. Just so much style and substance across the board. Really comes down to what you feel most comfortable driving. Over to a Silverado truck. Now, you're looking for a truck. hey, this is how I make a living. I need a truck. I'm a handyman, and this is how I make a living. I need a truck that can work like I do, 6-7 days a week. We make that truck for you. Just you and your truck, we got it. You need a family truck, still do some work out of it, we can do that for you too. Silverado, almost, it's like they've made a custom truck that's perfect for your lifestyle. New and used never look better than right now when it comes to everything. Best overall products we've ever had when it comes to cars, trucks, and SUVs. You're going through some changes in your life right now, and instead of getting a new girlfriend, they can be really expensive. Try the Corvette. Oh, that new Corvette. Well, I'll tell you what, that thing is sweet. Matter of fact, qualified buyers get 1.9% APR on all 2024 Silverado 1500s, the Blazer EV, the Equinox, the Trailblazer, the Blazer, and the Colorado model. Chevrolet, together, let's drive, South Florida.